We're holding at the top of Ein Zayin Amud Aleph. So this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to mainly be dealing with matters of Chalolos. We mentioned at the beginning of the Perek that there are such things as Chalolim. So now let's get into details of what exactly is the definition of a Cholol and to what extent that status gets transmitted from generation to generation. So the Mishnah starts off, Vas Cholol Zocher Psulim in Akohuna. The daughter of a male cholol is possible to marry a kohen. Meaning, in other words, we're going to say further on that it's different if a Yisrael marries a cholol la, then that status does not get transmitted to her daughter. But Tana Kama is saying over here that if a cholol marries a regular bas Yisrael, their sons are going to be chalolim and their daughters are going to be chalolois, and therefore the daughter would be possible to marry a kohen la'olam forever. Meaning, in other words, when we say forever, in other words, again, it breaks off at any time in the female line, in the sense that the daughter is a chalola. If she marries a regular Yisrael, then fine, the children will be their children won't be chalolim anymore. But in other words, his son will be a chalol, and his own daughter will be a chalola. His son's daughter will be a chalola. His son's son's daughter, etc. That's what it means la'olam. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Yisrael shenasa chalala bitei ksheira l'kohuna. The other way around, if Yisrael marries a chalala, then the children or the daughter would be kosher to marry a kohen, as we'll work with this all out in the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, cholol shenasa bas Yisrael bitei psula l'kohuna. If a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, then the daughter is possible to marry a kohen. Now that seems to be repeating the first line in the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara why the Mishnah is doing that. Next, so all that is according to Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bas Ger Zocher Kabas Cholol Zocher. Rabbi Yehuda says that the daughter of a male ger, meaning in other words that he married a Jewish woman and after he became a ger and they have a daughter, Kabas Cholol Zocher, Rabbi Yehuda says is exactly like the daughter of a male cholol, meaning she would also be possible to marry a kohen. So if her mother is a geyerus, then Rabbi Yehuda would say she owes kosher to marry a kohen. But if her father is a ger, then Rabbi Yehuda says no. And we'll work out in the Gemara again why we'll talk about this business of gerim and kohenim. Primarily, we'll talk about Amdaf Ayin Ches why he holds that. Rabbi Lezben Yaakov says differently. Yisrael shenasa giyoras bitek sheder l'kohona. If Yisrael marries a giyoras, so the mother is a giyoras, then the daughter is kosher to kohona. Fine, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that point. Ger shenasa bas Yisrael bitek sheder l'kohona. Also, if a ger marries a bas Yisrael, so not like Rabbi Yehuda, there Rabbi Yehuda had said the daughter would be possible to marry a kohen. Rabbi Lezben Yaakov holds she's kosher. Only if a ger marries a giyoras, only if, in other words, both parents of the daughter are gerim, only then the daughter is possible to a kohen. And Rabbi Lezman Yaakov adds, echad ger ve'echad avodim mishachrorim. These dinim that we're talking about, as far as gerim, apply equally well to freed avodim, because once an eved is freed, once an eved knani is freed, then basically he has the same dinim as a ger, so the same thing. And he continues, afilu anasora dirtis, even up to 10 generations, they'd be possible to marry kohenim if the ancestry is exclusively gerim or avodim meshachrorim. So in other words, if you have, in the first generation, a ger marries a geyoris, and then they have a son. And when that son grows up, he also marries a geyoris. And then when they have a son or a daughter, it doesn't matter, whichever one, and they end up marrying also a ger or an eved meshuchar, etc. Even though 10 generations have passed since the original gerus, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there's still possible to marry kohenim, adjutei imoy mi Yisrael, unless at some point the mother, or the father for that matter, is from a born Jew. Then at that point, the children of that marriage would be kosher to marry kohenim, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, af ger shenasa giyoras bitek sheira l'kohuna. Rabbi Yossi says that even if a ger marries a giyoras in the first generation, then the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So in other words, you have three opinions over here, and we're going to see in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches that there's yet another opinion, Rav Shimon's opinion, which we touched on the other day in the Gemara. But in the Mishnah over here, you have three opinions regarding the daughter of a ger. According to Rav Yehuda, it's a problem for her to she's not allowed to marry a kohen if her father is a ger, but she's allowed if her mother is a ger. According to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, as long as either parent is a Yisrael, then the daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen. But if both of them are Gerim or Avodim Meshachrorim, then not. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that even in that case, they would be kosher to marry Kohen. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. In the first part of the Mishnah, when we say Bas Cholol Zocha Psulim and Akohuna La'olam, so we said again that if a cholo marries a bas Yisrael, the daughters of such a family are posel la'olam. Meaning, in other words, we said that his daughter, his son's daughter, his son's son's daughter, etc., are all going to be posel. So my la'olam, what do we mean by la'olam? Why does the Mishnah have to say the word la'olam?
Only if a cholo marries a bas Yisrael. What happens if he marries a bas Cohen?
When we say a bas Yisrael, for this purpose, we mean a bas Kohen as well. We learned before, lo huzru k'sheiros le'nosel psulim, the bnos Kohenim are not told not to marry Chalolim. They're perfectly allowed to marry Chalolim. Nevertheless, though, we're saying, the Tanakhama, at least in our Mishnah, is saying, we're going to see in the Gemara, there are other opinions that says that the status of Chalolus is going to be perpetuated throughout the generations from father to son. And also from father to daughter, but only in the first generation. So his daughter will be a halala, says the Tana of our Mishnah, but his daughter's daughter would not. So what do we mean by stressing la'olam in this case? So like this, ma'u detema midi dehavi amitzri ve'adomi. You might think otherwise that a cholol maybe is like a mitzri or an adomi. We know, as we've learned before, if a ger from mitzri, if a person from Mitzrayim or from Edom converts, then only for two generations are they also to marry into the Jewish people. The third generation is already allowed. So malahalom achas shloisha dodos. So the same way as they are after three generations, or meaning already in the third generation, they're allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. Afkan nami laachas shloisha dodos. The same thing over here. It would also be maybe a cholol's descendants after three generations. There's no problem of cholos anymore. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Tana has to tell us that not. It's not so, and the psul of a cholol lasts forever. For the reason, because as the Gemara is going to work out over here, the pasuk says in connection with a cholol, the word zaroi. And the word zaroi means his descendants, no matter how far down we go. As opposed to mitzri and adomi, it doesn't use the expression zaroi. By the way, I forgot to mention, as far as Rabbi Lezman and Yaakov in the Mishnah, why does he hold that it has to be that if a ger marries a geyoris, the daughter is possible to marry a kohen, and only if at some point there's imim Yisrael. So basically, well, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the daughter of a ger zocher, basically what it is he learns from a tzada shava with a cholol, he holds that you have to make a tzada shava between a cholol and another case over there that we're going to learn about in the Gemara tomorrow on Daf Ayin Ches. And therefore, he says, because of that, the daughter of a ger, of a male ger, would be possible to marry a kohen. He learns from a combination of cholol and kohen gadol ba'amona. So when he makes a tzad hashava, therefore he says that's how it would be. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov doesn't agree with that tzad hashava, because the tzad hashava that they have in common is not really they have something in common. Each one of them has a tzad chomer, and Rabbi Lezman means, in other words, they have some kind of chomer. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov doesn't consider that to be a tzad hashava. It has to be they have something in common, actually. So therefore that's why he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and says that if the daughter of a male ger is not a problem, as long as his wife is a Yisrael, he does hold that the wife of a Kohen has to be Mizera Beis Yisrael, as we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara from a Pasuk in Yechezkel, and therefore there has to be Yisrael, there has to be born Jewish lineage mixed in there somewhere for her to be kosher. And so again, we'll work that out in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches. Anyway. Getting back to the Gemara over here. So that's why the Mishnah had to stress la'olam again by a cholol, because otherwise you would think that maybe it expires after a few generations. Okay, now we said on the other hand, Yisrael shenasa cholola, that if Yisrael marries a cholola, then their daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, "Menahani mili." Where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shimon, or on the side of a tzihah over here, it says it should be Rabbi Shmuel. Like this, Nemar kan v'lo yichalol zarei ba'amav. The pasuk says regarding, in particular, it says regarding a kohen gadol marrying an almana, which is one of the ways in which a chalala can be produced. Is it says he should not desecrate his zarei, his descendants among his people. And now we have, what's this word, ba'amav, v'nema lahalon. You have a pasuk in connection with a kohen becoming tamei for his wife, lo yitama ba'al ba'amav, a husband, when he's among his people, if his wife was posel to him, is not allowed to become tamei for her. Meaning, if there's nobody around, then she's a mes mitzvah, then he has mitzvah to bury her regardless. But if there's other people around, ba'amav, he's among his people, meaning there are other fellow Jews around who can bury her, then he's not allowed to, because he wasn't allowed to be married to her in the first place. The point is, we have the word ba'amav in both places, so therefore we have a gzera shava. Malahalam schorim v'lenekevis, just like over there, when it comes to tumah, only the males are told not to do it, not the females, because after all, we know that a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalolo or a grusha or what have you. But as we've said many times before, it's not the other way around. A bas kohen is allowed to marry a chalolo or a ger or what have you. So just like over there, the din of lo yitama baal ba'amav applies only to men, afkan, schorim v'lo nekevis, the same way over here. When it says v'lo yichalol zarei ba'amav, only the male is able to make his children chalolim, by the female is not. So therefore, we learn from that that the daughters of a chalala will not be considered a chalala herself. Okay. So the Gemara says elamei ata. Well, by that logic, if we're saying that the concept of chalala to a certain extent doesn't apply to women, well, then even the first generation bita shel kohen gadol tishri, then the daughter, suppose that a kohen gadol marries an almana, which is also to him, maybe we should say she herself is not a chalala. If you're telling me we have a pasuk that implies that if we have a gzeira shava, then it applies only to men and not to women. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua explains that what the Gemara's Hava Amina is, maybe the concept of Chalala is only the woman herself who had relations with somebody that she was that who's also to her and she's also to him. For example, an Amon Kohen Gadol, you could say the Kohen Gadol has relations with her, makes her a Chalala, as we're going to work out in detail on the Amud over here. Maybe we'd say the daughter of Bechlal is not a Chalala. And the answer is, the Gemara says, Miksiv Benoi. Sure, but the Pasuk doesn't say that his son will become desecrated, will become a Cholol. Zarei Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Lo Yichalo Zarei Ba'amav. So therefore, necessarily, it has to include both boys and girls. But the Gemara asks, in that case, Bas Benoi Tishtiri. Fine, but why shouldn't we say that his son's daughter should be Mutter to marry a Kohen? Again, fine, you can't say that the Gzeder Shava Ba'amav refers to the first generation daughter, because we just said, because it says Zarei, but now that we have, on the one hand, it says Zarei, on the other hand, it says, on the other hand, we have the Gzeder Shava that tells us that it should, that at some point it doesn't apply to women, so maybe it shouldn't apply already to his son's daughter. And the answer is, so maybe it only applies to the first generation. And again, ksiv lo yichalo zarei, again, because the pasuk does say lo yichalo zarei, meaning his zera. So therefore, that means, and the point is, the word zarei, his zera, comes to include together the father and the son. So therefore, it means, in other words, so we're including this for the father and his son in the same pasuk. And therefore, so what does the gzera shava help us is as far as his daughter's daughter. So the point is, in other words, but within the word zarei, makish zarei loy, we're making a hekish in that one word zarei, between his son and himself. Mahu bite lekohuna afnoi bite psula. The same mahu bite psula afnoi bite psula. Just like he himself, the kohen gadol, married an almana, the children would be, his son would be a cholol and his daughter would be a cholola. The same way his son is the same thing. His son will be a cholol and his son's daughter will also be a cholola. Well, the Gemara says, bas bite titzar. Well, by that logic, we should say it should apply to the daughter's daughter as well. And the Gemara answers him, "Kain gzeira shava maya hanilei." Well, if you weren't like that, then what would the gzeira shava be helping us? The fact is, we do have a gzeira shava that tells us that to a certain extent, it applies only to boys, not to girls. On the other hand, we have the word On the other hand, we have the word zaroi, which not only includes all children, but also makes a hekesh between his children and him. So we're meant to understand that putting the two of them together, the Gzeira Shava tells us that ultimately in the female line, eventually this problem of halala stops, namely the daughter herself is a halala, but her daughter in turn is not. On the other hand, it continues down in the male line, and therefore the son is a cholol, and so are all his children, and the son's son is a cholol, and so are all his children, and so forth. And that brings us to what we said in the Mishnah, bas cholol zachok, psulam, and akona la'olam. On the other hand, Yisrael shenos a cholol, a bitik sheir la'kona. So that's how it comes out then. So a kohen gadol marries an almana, their son, we'll call him, we'll call him Yaakov, is going to be a cholol, and if they have a daughter, well, here actually you have Yaakov, a kohen gadol, marries Rachel and Almana, so their son Reuven will be possible to marry a kohen, and so will their daughter Dina. On the other hand, when Reuven marries, his sons will all be chalolim and his daughters will all be chalolois. On the other hand, when Dina marries, then her children will not be chalolois. That we learn from the Gzeira Shava, that the daughter herself is a chalola, but not the daughter's daughter. Okay. So the Gemara says, we continued in the Mishnah. We said cholol shenasa bas Yisrael bitei psula. We said if a cholol marries a regular Jewish woman, and yeah, you asked him before about bas koyin over here. In general, most of the time when we say bas Yisrael in these halachas, we don't mean a bas Yisrael as opposed to a koyin. We just mean a regular Jewish woman as opposed to a giyodas or other people like that. Because again, there's no difference whether a cholol marries a bas Yisrael or a bas koyin. Either way, the din is the same thing. Anyway, we said if a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, his daughter is possible to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, "Hotani le'reisha bas cholol zocha psulam and akona lo'olam." We already said that in the reisha. Why are we repeating that? And the Gemara says, "You're right. It wasn't really necessary to repeat it." I tani reisha Yisrael shenasa cholola. Once it already said in the reisha. Once we just said in the previous line, if a Yisrael marries a cholola, b'tik sheru l'kohona. Then Tonanami seif a cholol shenasa bas Yisrael. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentions the case where the cholol marries a bas Yisrael, just to keep things parallel. It's true, we already knew that din from before, but like this, it's a handy way to remember. Yisrael marries a cholola versus the cholol marries a bas Yisrael. The actual din that she's possible menach kohuna, we had already at the beginning of the Mishnah bas cholol zocha psulam menach kohuna, and that in turn is an introduction to later in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says bas ger zocher ke bas cholol zocher. Okay, the Gemara points out mas nisim deloikur of this story ben Yehuda. Now our Mishnah, so again, let's summarize. The daughter of a cholol is a cholola. The daughter of a cholola is not a cholola. So, our Mishnah then, in saying that, does not go like Rabbi Stoy ben Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Stoy ben Yehuda Omer, Kishem Shabnei Yisrael mikvah taro l'chalolos, just as much as Jewish men are like a mikvah that cleanses chalolos, meaning, in other words, you have a woman as a chalola, and she marries a regular Yisrael, and it's like a mikveh that cleans up the tumah, and now their daughter is kosher to marry a kohen, and that's what we said in the Mishnah, the daughter of a halala is not a halal. Kach, the same way, the story learns, b'nois Yisrael mikveh tahar l'chalalim, the same way, Jewish women are a mikveh that is matahar chalalim, so according to him, the status of halalus does not perpetuate itself to the next generation from the father either. So according to him, in other words, the scenario we had before, Kohen Gadol marries an almana. Let's say their children will be a cholol and a cholola respectively. But according to him, it doesn't continue down to the next generation at all. So the Gemara says, "My time is of this story, but of Yehuda. Why does he say that?" Now, after all, the fact is we did have a hekesh before between Zaroi and Loi, so you can't just say so you can't just ignore that. But the thing is, because he says Amakra Loi Chalal Zaroi Ba'amav, he says yes, but let's focus on that word Ba'amav before we used it for Gzeira Shava. But also of this story's point, which we said from that Gzeira Shava, we learned that the girls are mutter. But also of this story is focusing on the fact instead of Ba'amav with one mem, it could have said Ba'amimav, which would be with two mems, which would be more plural. So, uh, So in other words, Amov implies more like one nation. So therefore, we learn from that. Ba'am echod hu d'meichal. So when would there be chalolos? Only if both of them are effectively from that one same nation, meaning that they're both chalolim. B'shnei amom ein meichal. But if it's two different nations, meaning one is a cholol or chalola, and the other one is a regular yid, or as a regular yid, then it's not. So Rabbi Distori actually cited, so to be exact, then Rabbi Distori holds that if a cholol marries a cholola, then the din of chololos goes to the next generation, and the boys are chololim and the girls are chololos. But as long as either parent is not a cholol, then the children are fine. So we still have what we said before, the hekesh between Zaroi and himself. And the fact is, both of them are possible in the sense that the Kohen was also to marry this particular woman. So now he's saying, so the first generation children sure are going to be halalim. The second generation, if they continue to marry halalim, then you have the same issue. But if they don't, then not. So he learns that from the word ba'amov, where it says ba'amov with one mem, rather than ba'amimov with two mems. And the Ritva also adds, the fact is, since the Pasuk says lo yichal zarei, then we understand if the Kohen is marrying somebody who's also to him, then the daughter is definitely possible. There you don't need that they're from one am. All we're talking about is when it comes to the children, when it comes to zarei, then it has to be ba'amav, it has to be that they're produced all from one am rather than from two. Okay, so that's Rabbi Distori, but Rabbi Yehuda, the other Chachamim disagree with that, and the Halacha is like them. Next, the Gemara says, "Tanan Rabbanan lo yichalol zaroi." Now, so let's focus on. So far, we've been talking about what's the status of the children. What happens to the woman herself who married a kohen who was also to marry her? So, when the pasuk says lo yichalol zaroi, he shouldn't cause that his children will be profaned and become halalim. Ainly elo zaroi. You would only know from that that this bia asura makes that the children are halalim. He atzma minayin. How do we know that the woman herself becomes a halala? Which is negea for two things. It actually points out, first of all, if she herself is a bas koyin, the result of this bia asura is that she won't be able to go back to eating truma in her father's house. Like this, if she had married somebody who was mutter to her, well, I mean, if she's a wife of a Kohen, she'd be able to eat Truma on that basis alone. But even if not, even if she married a Yisrael, then as the Pasuk tells us, as we learned extensively in Yevamos, if her husband passes away or divorces her and she doesn't have any descendants from him, then she's able to go back to eating Truma, but only as long as there was no Bia Asura with her. And now that there was a Bia Asura, then she became a Chalala, therefore she's not allowed to eat Truma anymore. Second of all, the Nachtamina, Rashi says, is if another Kohen were to marry her, then he would be getting Malkus for the fact that she's a Chalala, which we're going to work out later in the Gemara. You can have a case where a woman is also to a Kohen on multiple grounds. She could be a Grusha and a Chalala and a Zoyna and so forth, and there could be Malkus for each one. So it's important to know when she becomes a Chalala. So now we're saying she becomes a Chalala from the fact that the Kohen had a Bias Surah with her. So the Braisa continues, Amrit, so like this, how do you know that she becomes Osir? So first, the Braisa says, Amrit Kavachomer, because you can make a Kavachomer. Ma zaroi shaloi over avera. Madach, the children did not do any avera, because they weren't even conceived at the time, or they were conceived, but whatever, they certainly weren't born at the time. Mischalo, and yet those children become chalolim. He sha'ovra avera, so the woman herself, who actually does an avera, because the Kohen is also to marry her, and she's also to be married to him, ain't a din, she mischalolas, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that she becomes a chalola as a result of that? Now, to be sure, the Pnei Yeshua points out, you could think to flog that up from the case of a mamzer. A mamzer also didn't do anything wrong. It's his parents who did something wrong. And the fact is that the mother of a mamzer doesn't become also lover b'kohol, but the mamzer himself is. So Pnei Yeshua says, look, you can't learn psulei kahuna from psulei kohol. A mamzer is a different kind of psul. It's a psul to marry into the Jewish people at all. That's a different kind of thing. We're not talking about over here. As far as psulei kahuna, though, you don't find such a thing that the children should be possible and the mother should not. So that's the Braisa says. So you can learn it that way. However, the Braisa says, now the Braisa says, why? You can slug that up by considering the man himself, the Kohen himself. After all, he did the Avera as well, and yet he's not Mischalo. He doesn't get desecrated from being a Kohen. Now, there is the Mishnah in Bechoras tells us, Rashi refers to, that if a Kohen marries a woman who is also to him, it's true he is possible to serve in the Mishmikdash, but only all he needs to do is make a neder barabim or aldas rabim, that he won't have enough from her, where such a neder, as we've learned before, is impossible to be matir unless it's l'dvar mitzvah, and here obviously it's not, and therefore therefore, once he does that, then already he's allowed to do the avodah, even though he still is married to her. In other words, so what he does is, so he married this woman, Ba'avera. So we tell him, you can't serve in the Besamikdash yet. You have to be Madur Hana. You have to make a neder al das rabim that you won't have Hana from her and she from you. So that you'll have no choice to get but to get divorced. Then at that point, he's allowed to go and continue serving in the Besamikdash. And once he's done his term of duty in the Besamikdash, then he can go right out again and actually execute the divorce. The point is, we see that just the fact that he's married to her doesn't prevent him from doing the avodah. Now, there are mefoshim who learn that, there's a question whether this that we're saying, when he marries a woman ba'avera, that he's possible to serve in the mishmikdash, is that a knas d'rabbanan or is an actual din d'oraisa? But even if we say it's an actual din d'oraisa, mefoshim explain, fine, but the fact remains that we don't say he's possible forever. A woman who married a Kohen, she wasn't allowed to, become... a woman who marries a man that she wasn't a Kohen, a Chalola, for example, or a Grusha or whatever, who marries a Kohen, becomes usur to eat Truma or to marry a Kohen forever. Whereas the Kohen himself is not like that. He may be temporarily disqualified from marrying, from serving in the Bais Mikdash, or from Duchening, but once he... once he's madur hana, once he makes this neder not to have hana from her anymore, then he's able to continue serving in the Bais Mikdash. So in that case, then that shows that he's not permanently disqualified. So you could shlug up the kal v'chomer that way. You could say, you see from that somebody who does an avera is not necessarily disqualified. And the Gemara answer, the Braisa answers no, because malahu shekein en mischal b'chol makom. No, because you never find that a Kohen is mischalal. You never find that, again, even if you were to have relations with a shifcher or a zoyna, the fact is, you never have a case where a man has relations with somebody who is osir, and the result of that is that he himself becomes posel. So how do you compare with her, where she is any place, she is mischalal, in the sense, not only we're talking about over here, if she married a Kohen, for example, you have also that if a woman has had relations with somebody who is also to her, as we've learned before, if she has relations with a goy or a mamzer or an eved or whatever, that also passels her from truma and from marrying a kohen. So we see that a woman is capable of being posel in such ways using bia where a man is not going to be posel. So therefore, the kal v'chomer we had is still valid. That madach, the children, didn't do anything wrong at all in their posel. How much more so her? Then the bride.
Have we learned also that the man, when if you're anybody who any man that has a room, he makes his
the children become halalim, but we're saying he himself doesn't. That's the point. Continues the bride. Now, if you want to think to say, you want to argue to the contrary, you want to shlug up the kal v'chomer in a different way. Then the Braisa says, I'll give you a different way. You can't learn it from a kal v'chomer, fine. Omakru lo yichalo zaroi. The pasuk says you should not desecrate his descendants and. Lo yichulal. So the word yichalal implies somebody who would have been kosher and who was kosher and now becomes chalal. Zesha kosher and ischalal. Therefore, it has to be also telling us that there is somebody who was kosher and now becomes posel, namely the woman herself that he married, who was kosher to marry a kohen until now and now became posel and became a chalala, as opposed to the children who were never kosher in the first place. So in other words, so we can learn it that way. We can say. Now, we learn it from the fact, lo yichalel, implying that there has to be a kashrus over here that then was nischalel. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara points out that also you have the word lo yichalel itself has two lamads in it. It could have said lo yachel, and lo yichalel teaches us that there are actually two different kinds of chilul over here. One of the wife and one of the children. So the Gemara says, "My im nafshach loymar." What is this? The Braisa said, "Im nafshach loymar." If you want to say, meaning in other words, that the Braisa is implying there is a way to shlug up a kava choymer, and therefore the Braisa is saying, "Fine, I'll give you a posik that says the same din." So because b'chitema ikal mifrach, because you might think you could shlug up the kava choymer, you could say mazare shekain yitzirose ba'aveira. When the child to begin with was created through an aveira, was conceived through an aveira. So it's true, the child didn't do anything wrong, but on the other hand, to begin with, they were created through an aveira. So they, on the other hand, the woman was not. So therefore, the bris has to add omakro lo yichalo lo yicholo zeshari kosher v'dischalo. Therefore, the bris has to add the limud from the pasuk. Both of them are. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim over here points out, why don't we say, look, you have, you could prove to the contrary, you could shlug up that upshlug by saying, so you're telling me, in other words, you want to say that the Zara is Tzirose Ba'avera, and therefore you want to say there should be a bigger reason to say that they're Halalim, but she is not. Well, you could prove to the contrary. We just said that a woman who had relations with somebody who was also to her becomes a halala, becomes also to marry a kohen. So not a halala per se, but she becomes also to marry a kohen. The fact is, she wasn't yitzirose ba'avera. She wasn't conceived in avera. So therefore, you could show that one has nothing to do with the other. And you could do a tzada shove even between them. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, it may not be a real tzada shove. Or there could be some kind of pircha in it. There could be some other way of shlugging it up. Marsha points out that part of the question might be, do we consider a woman in such a situation to be a halala or to be a zoida? When we say, when a Jewish woman has had relations with a goy or with an eved or mamzer or what have you, does that make her a halala? Or does it actually make her a zoina, which is a whole different category? So if you say that, then that might be one way of what the Tosfos Yeshanim is saying, that there may be a way of shlugging that up, because you could say, as far as that she becomes a zoina, that's one thing, but as far as that she becomes a halala, no, because the fact is she doesn't become a halala from such a relationship. Therefore, what the Gemara is saying, the difference between the child that was conceived by Avera and the mother who was not, would remain valid. Because, in other words, so you would go like this. You have your Kavah Chomer, that says the child didn't do anything wrong and yet they were Cholol, how much more so the mother who did something wrong. You would shlug that up by saying that the child was conceived by Avera. You would try to shlug up that in turn by saying, yes, but on the other hand, you see that there's a case where a woman has relations that's also to her and makes her a Cholola. So the Gemara doesn't do that. So now Tosfos Yeshanim is saying, because there's probably some way of shlugging that up. And Marsha says one way might be by pointing out she doesn't become a halala from that. She becomes a zoina. That's a whole different thing. Fine, both a halala and a zoina are also to marry a kohen, but they're still different categories. So therefore, so that leaves us with what we're saying in the Gemara, that we could shlug up the Kavah Chomer, and therefore we need a pasuk to tell us what we otherwise would have learned with the Kavah Chomer.
Children are the same thing. If the mother is a halala or
right, that's true. But nevertheless, the fact is, there's halala and zoina are still two different categories, and therefore, just because we find that she becomes a zoina because of a bias sort of, doesn't necessarily mean that she becomes a halala because of it, or doesn't necessarily mean that we can use that to shlug up defining when the children are halalim and when they're not. Okay. Turn it up, bottom. We learn in a brisa. Ezer hi halala. What is the definition of a halala? Kol shenolda min apsulim. Any daughter who was born from someone who was posel. So the Gemara says, my psulim, what kind of psulim are we talking about? Ilema psulim loy. Do we mean even a Yisrael where you have a woman who is posel to him? So we're not talking about where there's mamzeros or whatever, but you're talking about a bia that is also to Yisrael, and therefore the result is the daughter is a halala. No, can't be. Consider the case where he remarries his ex after she married somebody else. Where the psulaloi, she's posel to him, as the Torah tells us, lo yuchabala arishan lo shul lachafta, and yet uvonehak shedim, but the children would be kosher, dichtiv, as the posuk says, te'eva he, it is a disgusting thing to do, but we also darshan, the word he means she. That it's a te'eva to marry her, that in Baneha te'evim, the children don't become te'eva as a result of that. So you see that just because Yisrael did a bias surah doesn't necessarily make the children halal, doesn't make the children halalim. So how can you say anybody who's born from psulim?
This would be both of them
have committed an issur, sure. But the point is that, yeah. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakan Kama, Ezeri Chalala, Kol Shenodim Psul Kahuna. The definition of a Chalala, she was born from somebody who's specifically posel to a Kohen, meaning the four kinds of women that are also, the three kinds of women that are also to a Kohen had you, Grusha, Zoyna, and Chalala, and the four that are also to a Kohen Gadol, those three, plus Almana, those are the ones where the daughter of such a marriage would be a Chalala. So if you want to ask, Nelda in, lo Nelda loy, so you're telling me only if she was born from it, but not if she wasn't born from it. What about Vahare Almana? What about Vahare Almana, or Grusha, Zoyna? What about an Almana who marries a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha, or a Zoyna who marries a regular Kohen, was not born from an Isser, but can have a Chalala, and yet she becomes a Chala when the Kohen has relations with her? The answer is, Omar Rabba Hachi Karma. You're right. What the Braisa means is, Ezu Chalala Muzkeres. What is the Chalala who is mentioned? And we'll explain in a second what that word mentioned means. Is Shaloi Hoya Lashasa Kosha Klau, one who never had a time in her life when she was mutter to marry a Kohen, is Kol Shenodom and Psul Kahona, when she was born from somebody who was posel to the Kohona. Which means, in other words, that, as opposed to, we're going to talk about further on in the Sugya, that if you have a woman was born from some other kind of biasura, then she's not a chalala. There can be other issues with her. She may be a mamzeres. She may be whatever. But a chalala is defined specifically as when a kohen had relations with a woman who's also to him by virtue of his status as a kohen, rather than by virtue of something else. That's when you have a chalala. So, but what do we mean by muzkeres? What does this word muzkeres mean? Amr of Yitzchak Ha'oven Hachakama. What is the kind of halala where the primary source of it is midibre Torah? The ain srichim, the farish midibre sofrim. We don't even need the chachamim to explain to us. Like this we had before, for example, how do we know that the woman herself who married the kohen becomes a halala? Ultimately, we had to learn it from lo yichalel, implying that there's somebody who was kosher and now is nischalel, or because of the two lamids or whatever. But now we're saying, what kind of halala do you not even need divrei sofrim to explain? It's clear in the psukim, is kol shenodem and psulei kohona, when a woman was born from psulei kohona, and that's the basic definition of halal, and the nafkamina of that would be, one nafkamina of that would be, for example, as far as the par helam dava shel tzibur. If Beistin makes a mistake in certain kinds of halachas, or parallel to that, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake in certain kinds of halachas, they have to bring a special korban. But that applies only, that doesn't apply when it's dover shat tzedukim moedim boy, when it's something that's so clear in the psukim that even the tzedukim who don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh will agree to it, then it's not in that category. So now it becomes important to know what kind of halala is clear from the psukim, and that would be when you have somebody who was born from Isurei Kohona, as opposed to the fact that the wife herself, the wife, the grusha, wife of a kohen, or the zoyna, wife of a kohen, or whatever, becomes a halala. That's not so clear from the psukim. We need to darshan it using one of the methods we said before. So therefore, the tzedukim might not agree with that, and therefore, if the Beis Din made a mistake on such a halacha, they would have to bring a parhelim davar shel tzibur and so forth. The Beis Din, whatever, right. And similar, the Kohen Gadol would have to bring a special korban if he made a mistake in that. It's also negeya as far as Zokin Mamre, because you have the same kind of thing. If a Zokin Mamre disagrees with the Beis Din on something that's blatantly obvious in the Pasuk, then he's not judged as a Zokin Mamre. So you have a few nafkaminis to know whether something is clear in the Pesukim or whether it's Darshan, or whether it's Darshan by the Chacham. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tonan Abonim. Okay, so now we have our definition of Chalala. So again, Chalala is, there's two kinds of halalas, really. There's one that's clear in the pasuk, namely the daughter of a kohen and a woman that he's not allowed to marry specifically because he's a kohen, namely a grusha, zona, or for a kohen gadol and amana. And number two, you have the woman herself that he had relations with, who he's also to, also becomes a halala by that, meaning she was before something else. She was before an amana or a grusha or whatever, and now she can become a halala as well. We're going to see, actually, we're going to work out in the Gemara. Now, as we go through, it's not so simple. Not always are we going to say that she becomes a halala where she was already ulcered by something else. That we're going to work that out on Amud Beis.
Okay, so a woman that's in Yisrael, married to Yisrael, and she remarries him when she's not supposed to, because in between he was married to someone else, that would be...
So that would be, that doesn't produce a halala. They're b'chlal. The children have no taint on them at all. The children are not... doesn't get passed down yet. Okay, the Gemara says, Tonan Abonim, Almona, Almona, Almona. What if you have three types of Almona? Now we're going to see in the Gemara, do we mean three different women who are Almonas? Do we mean one woman who was an Almona three times over? We're going to work that out in the Gemara. But right, the Braisa is saying, Almona, 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 Eina Chayiv al Achas. If a Kohen Gadol then marries such a woman and has relations with her, then he's going to be Chayiv only one time Malchus. Similarly, Grusha, 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 Eina Chayiv al Achas. He's also going to be Chayiv only one. On the other hand, almona u grusha v'chalola zayna. What if it's an almona? What about if it's all four of them? Bisman shein kaseder. When it happened in that order, first she became an almona, then she became a grusha, then she became a chalola, etc. Then chayiv akolachas v'achas. Then he's going to be chayiv individually for each one. On the other hand, zinsa. If first she was mezana and became a zayna, v'nischalola, and then she became a chalola. Venis Garsha, later on she was married to somebody and divorced from him. Venis Armala, and later on she was married to somebody else and widowed from him. Eina Chayiv al Achas, then the Kohen Gadol, who has relations with her, will be Chayiv only one time. And we're going to work out in the Gemara on Amud Beis why that is so, why the order makes a difference. So let's analyze first the first part. We said Almona, Almona, Almona. Omemar, Almona, 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 Eina Chayiv al Achas. We have to figure out, Hay Almona Hechidomi. What do we mean by this almona, almona, almona? What do we mean? Ilema, do we mean that there are three different women over here? Shaba almonas Ruven, ve al almonas Shimon, ve al almonas Levi. So he had relations with three almonas from three different husbands. And you're going to say he's chayiv only one malchus. Amai ain chayiv al achas. Why would he be chayiv only one malchus? The fact is, you have different bodies over here, and usually in halacha, when it comes to isurim that are chayiv malchus or kores or what have you, usually every guf counts as its own individual isur. And even if they were all in one hasra, Mefoshim point out over here, you have to be talking about over here, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. We're talking about there was one hasra. But nevertheless, Gufin Mechlokim, and in fact, there was an interesting point I think the Maharit brings up. So why don't we say, why can't he say by the second one that I forgot the Hasra? After all, the action has to be done. Terchid Edibur, the excuse. Why? Because he always has the excuse after Terchid Edibur, I forgot it. And he explains that once he's already starting with the Aveda and then he's doing one after the other, then we don't say that. If after the Hasra there was Terchid Edibur before he started doing the Aveda, then you would say that. But here, where it's one after the other, then you wouldn't say that.
He knows very well that he's not allowed
to. And we know he's not allowed to do, but the fact is, for Malchus, you need Hasra, and the Hasra has to be Terchid Edibur. Anyway, the point is, when in general we say that Guf and Mechlokim count as separate Averas, as far as Malchus, as far as Chatas, this has been the last few days in Rambam Shlosha Perakim, for example, talking about such dinim. You can have a person, for example, had relations with multiple women who were also to him. He was Mechalo multiple Shabbosis. Each time knowing that it's Shabbos, but not knowing that this particular thing was Malacha, different things like that. Or even you could have the other way around. You have where he knows the concept of Shabbos, but he didn't know today was Shabbos, whatever. Ultimately, you have cases where each one is considered a separate guf, and he's chayiv a separate chatas for each one. So why wouldn't we say that over here? Here there's no chatas, because we're not talking about a matter of kores, but the point is there should be malchus for each one.
Obviously, there's three separate people.
Yeah, and Harei Shemus Mechlokim, and there's even different names, because one was the Almona of Ruven, and another one the Almona of Shimon, and so forth. Tosfos says, really, it doesn't really need to mention that point. It wouldn't really matter. If all these women were married to Ruven, the same thing would apply. The fact is that Zgufim Mechlokim is enough to make separate Malchus for him for each one. We don't care whether really one was married to Ruven and another one to Shimon, and so forth.
They could have the same names,
though. Well, that doesn't matter. We don't mean names as in their actual names. We mean names as in the name of the Isser. In other words, this one is also to him because she was an almona. This one is also to him because she was an almona, but a different husband, and so forth. But the fact is, it doesn't even matter whether they're each one is an almona from a different husband, as long as they're all almonas and each one is a goof of its own, then he's getting separate malchus for each one. So then
he's a
kohen gadol. We're talking about only a kohen gadol is also to marry an almona. So the Gemara answer is El Shabal Almona Achas Sholish Bias. So you're talking about it was one Almona and he has relations with her three times. Well, Hey Chidomi, what's the scenario? If they didn't give him Asra before every individual Bia, Pshitadena Chayiv al Achas. Of course, he's only getting one Malchus because Malchus requires Asra. Ella de Asker bei Akol Choda v'Choda, and if they gave him Asra individually for each one, Amai ein Chayv al Achas. Why would he be Chayv only one? But none. We learn in a Mishnah in Nazir, Nazir shoyis yayin kolayim kolay. If a Nazir is drinking wine all day long, ein Chayv al Achas, he's only going to be Chayv. They gave him Asra at the beginning. He's Chayv only one Malkus. But Omrulay al tishte. But if each time they tell him, don't drink, and again, don't drink. And he's continuing to drink. He's going to be chayav malchus individually for each one. Now there are a few explanations the Rishonim give why indeed he should be chayav only one. Rashi explains elsewhere because he could say he forgot the hasra because more than tefillah dibur. Another explanation, the Ri brings an explanation because unless you have hasrois to break it up, then it's considered all one drinking. Whatever, there's different reasons that are given why, but the point is, the Tosfos Reed says that he could say that I thought I'm not going to be chayav for each one individually, but if they actually tell him asra for each one, then he's chayav for each one individually. So the same thing over here then. If they only gave him one hasra, then of course he's chayav only one. So it would be similar to, because then the same way as the nazir. And if they gave him separate hasrois, he's going to be chayav for each one. So what are we saying? Ein chayav al achas is a blanket statement that he's only ever going to be chayav one. So the answer is loy tzricha. The chiddush of the braisa is shabal almonas Reuven shahoisa almonas Shimon shahoisa almonas Levi. She was married to Reuven and he died. Then she married Shimon and he died. Then she married Levi and he died. So she's a three times almona, but she's all one person. Maud tema hare shemus mochlokim. You would say that after all, there are different shemus over here because she was married to Reuven and then to Shimon and then to Levi. So you should be chayev three malchus because she was an almona from three different husbands. No, kamash malon gufim mochlokim ba'in and v'leka. The fact is, you need different gufim and you don't have because she's all one person. Therefore, the kohen gadol can be chayev malchus only once for having relations with her. So that's what we mean by almona, 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 in chayv al achas. And similarly, grusha, 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 what we mean is one woman who's an almona multiple times, or one woman who's a grusha multiple times, because it's one person, therefore it's only one malchus.
Yeah, but that means it was done separate days. So
no. We mean that the Kohen Gadol had relations with her one time, but she previously had been widowed three times, or in the case of a or divorced three times. Nevertheless, we're saying she's still one person, and therefore it's only one. Therefore, he's only over on one issue and is getting only one malchus. Okay. Now the Braisa had continued almona ugrusha v'chalola zoyna. Now the Braisa had continued that if you have a woman who's an almona who is also a grusha, who is also a chalola, who is also a zoyna, then we said if it's kaseder, we said if it's in order, then he's chayev four malchus. But if it's out of order, then he's not chayev. Then he's not chayev that many malchus. If it's in the opposite order. So we have
even to. It's just one time.
One time he has relations with her. Yeah, you can have. There are many cases in halacha where a person can do one action and he's chayev for multiple. He's chayev for multiple averus and he gets multiple malchus, so has to bring multiple chatois. In those cases, what you have to have is though that there are separate isurim involved. So you can have, for example, let's say you have, for example, a woman who's also to him as an Ashes Ish and a Nidah, let's say, and he has relations with her, then he's going to be Chayev double, let's say it was all Beshoigig, then he'd have to bring two Chatois. But because they're different, because even though it's all one guf, it's Shemus Mochlokim. There's different names of Avera. Before we were talking about a woman who was an Almona three times over. We thought that it's Shemus Mochlokin in the sense that one is, she's an Almona of Reuven and she's also an Almona of Shimon and also an Almona of Levi. And we say no, because the fact is it's one Issu of Almona. But if there were multiple Issurim within her, for example, if she was an Almona as well as a Nida, then yeah, he'd be getting two Malchus. So now, when our Braisa had said that if she's an Almona and a Grusha and a Chalola and a Zoyna in that order, then he's Chayav Malchus for each one. So we have to ask, Hai Tana Maika Sober. What is the Tana of our Mishnah hold in terms of one Isur being on top of another Isur? Ikasaber Isur Chalal Isur. If he holds once something is Osir, it can become Osir with another Isur. Well then, Ipchanami, then it shouldn't matter the order, even if it's in the opposite order. Isur Chalal Isur. The Ikasaber ain't Isur Chalal Isur. And if the Tana holds that an Isur does not go on top of an Isur, that once something is Osir, it can't become more Osir, well then, Kaseder Azeh Nami Loi, then he shouldn't, I feel Kaseder Azeh Nami Loi, then he shouldn't be getting Malchus, even if it is in this order. So why does the order make a difference, according to this Tana? The answer is, Omar Rava, Hai Tana, Isur Chalal Isur, Les Lei, it is true that this Tana does not hold, in general, that Isur Chalal Isur, but Isur Moisif Islay. But he does agree when the second Isur is Moisif on the first one, that he does agree the second Isur can be Chal. Now, Tosfos Riyazokin discusses over here that there are two kinds of Isur Moisif. One can be where where she becomes usur in something that she was mutter in beforehand. For example, a grusha becomes a halala. A woman who's a grusha, she's usur to marry a kohen. However, she would be able, if she herself was a bas kohen, she would be able to go back to eating truma in her father's house. However, once she becomes a halala, then that's also closed off to her. So therefore, that's one way of isur moisif. So now there becomes a new isur on her that she didn't have before. The second way of isur moisif would also be that the second way of isur moisif would be that if somebody else is also in her that that wasn't before. For example, as far as dinim of chaylev. Let's say, for example, you're not allowed to eat chaylev, but it can still be brought as a korban on the mizbeach. But if the chaylev becomes tomei, then you can't bring it on the Mizbeach either. So now that would be an Isur Moisif in the sense that now there's a greater Isur on this Chelev that didn't exist before. So now, our Tana will hold of the concept of Isur Moisif. So like this, Almona Asur L'Kohen Gadol. So let's start off with the Almona is also to a Kohen Gadol, V'shari L'Kohen Hedid. At that point, she would be perfectly allowed to marry a Kohen Hedid. Havila Grusha, once she becomes divorced as well, Nigo di Toysafla is sort of a Gabba Kohen Hedyet. Since there's an Isser added to her regarding a Kohen Hedyet, now she becomes also to marry a Kohen Hedyet. Then, therefore, Toysafla is sort of a Gabba Kohen Gadol. Then, therefore, now an Isser is added also relative to the Kohen Gadol. So now the Kohen Gadol at this point has relations with her. He's going to get twice Malchus. One because of the Isser Almona, which is unique to him, and another one because of an Isser that was added. That applies to regular Kohenim, which also therefore can apply to him as well. We don't say, in other words, she's already also to him, so you can't add another Isser. We're saying because it's an Isser Moisif, then therefore it does add another Isser and therefore another Malchus for him.
For the Kohen Gadol, yeah. One because of the Kohen Gadol and one because of the Kohen.
Because she's a Grusha, and now as a Grusha, she is also to all Kohenim. So that's an Isser Moisif in the sense we've added an Isser, we've added a dimension of Isser that didn't exist before. Then let's continue. V'adayin shariya l'meichel b'truma. At this point in her life, if she has no children from her husband, she would be able to go back to eating truma because a grusha, there's no problem with that.
But because she had a
bialosur. No, because what we're saying is if she did at this point in her life, if she's an almana and a grusha and had not had a biasur of the koyin, she would be able to go back eating truma. Yeah. So now have yola halala. If now she becomes a halala, namely by a koyin having relations with her, where he's also true because she's a grusha, and in the case of a koyin gadol, also an almana, and we established on Oman Aleph that biasura makes her a halala. So now, Nigo di Itoisaf Isurla Mechel Betruma, now that we've added to her an Isser, where she is no longer allowed to eat Truma, Itoisaf Isurla Gabu Kohen Gadol, that also has the power to add an Isser relative to the Kohen Gadol, where now he can get Malchus for the fact that he had relations with the Chalala. She was already double Osir to him, but now we have this is an Isser Moisif. This is the definition of Isser Moisif. That now you have a new issue that was created that didn't exist, or a new issue that was that created or added that didn't exist before.
How was this third issue? How was it applied? What did she?
Because we're saying up until now, as an almana or a grusha, in principle, she would be able to go back to eating truma. Right now, maybe fine. She has children from a previous marriage, so she can't. But once those children are gone, once they pass, if they pass away, then she's allowed to eat truma. In other words, the fact of being an almana or a grusha in and of itself does not prevent her from eating truma. But being a halala does. That's called an isur moisif. That's called that now a new dimension of isur has been added. Therefore, that also goes back on the Kohen Gadol now, where now, if he has relations with her as an almana plus grusha plus halala, he's also getting malchus for the fact that she's a halala.
Three things.
So far, we're up to three things. So Ella Zoina, my Isur Moisif Isva.
Kohen has to know. The Kohen Gadol has to know.
Obviously, has to know. He has to have Asura. We're talking about before.
Yeah. She has three things.
So what about Ella Zoina, my Isur Moisif Isva? Fine, that takes care of the first three. But what Isur Moisif is there in a Zoina? Once she's a Halala, she's already also to a Kohen. She's also to eat Truma. What is becoming a Zoina, meaning that she had relations with a Goy or a Mamzer or what have you? that makes her a zoina, what extra isser does that add? What extra isser does that add that we didn't have already? How is that an isser moise? The answer is Amar of Chana Barav Ktina Hoyov Hashem Znus Hoysel B'Yisrael. Because the concept of Znus can make her also to Israel. Namely, in other words, here we might not be talking about Znus that was even with her consent. We know, after all, even if a woman was raped by a goy, she's also to a Koyan. Nevertheless, though, the name Zoina that is used for her is also in common with the name Zoina that is used when a woman is Mizana willingly, where then, if she's married to Israel, she becomes also to him. So therefore, the concept of Zoina is an Isur Moisif in the sense that there can be a kind of Zoina who is also to Israel. Therefore, even though here we're not necessarily talking about that kind of Zoina, nevertheless, the name Zoina can be considered an Isur Moisif. And therefore, so now the Kohen Gadol, therefore, is going to get Malkus for the fact that she was a Zoina as well, even though it's not the same kind of Zoina necessarily that would be also to Israel. But the point is that the name Zoina is something that would be also to a that would be also to Israel.
It's number four.
So that's how we get all four. So that's why it has to be in that order: Almona, then Grusha, then Chalala, then Zoina. If we did the other way around, now we understand what the Braisa was saying, that if she's a Zoina first, then the whole thing wouldn't work. Because as a Zoina already, you have the maximum that you already have. You already have, in principle, she would be also even to her husband Yisrael, if it was a Zoina willingly. And therefore, being a Chalala doesn't add anything to that. It's not an Isur Moisif. And similarly, becoming a Grusha doesn't add anything to that. She's already also to eat Truma. She's already also to marry a Kohen. Therefore, if she was a Zoina first, and then the other ones, then there would be only one Malkus when a Kohen Gadol has relations with her, or a Kohen Hedyot for that matter, because then there's no Isur Moisif, according to the Tana of this Mishnah. Now, if we said Isur Chalal Isur regardless, then there would be, but the Tana of this Braisa holds, and this is the Halacha, that Isur Chalal Isur, only when it's an Isur Moisif. There's also something called an Isur Koilo. There can also be where the Isur includes things that previously were Mutter and now are included in that. An example of Isur Koilo is, for example, you have, let's say, Chalev on Yom Kippur. Chalev is also to eat all year round, but Yom Kippur, everything is also to eat. That's called an Isur Kolal, and therefore it includes the Chalev as well. So a person eats Chalev on Yom Kippur, he's going to be bringing two Chatois.
One for
Chalev and one for Yom Kippur, yeah. Okay. So that's so that explains what we said in the Braisa.
The Kohen has to really know his...
Well, the bottom line is the Kohen has to marry a woman who's kosher to him. That's the bottom line. Okay. The Gemara continues. Toni Tana Kamedet of Sheshes. A Tana taught before of Sheshes the following Braisa. The Pasuk says about a Kohen Gadol, who Isha of Soleha Yikach, and then it continues with the list of women he's not allowed to marry. Almono Grusha V'Chalol Zonas Ela Lo Yikach. So the Braisa says, Kol Shehu B'Yikach, any woman who is suitable to marry a Kohen Gadol, where he could accomplish the mitzvah of Yikach with her, Harehu B'Lo Yikach, then the mitzvah of Lo Yikach applies, meaning if this same woman is a Grusha or what have you, then he's not allowed to marry her. Or an almona, but kol she ain't a b'yikach, ain't a below yikach. But if there's no yikach possible, if she's also to him already on other grounds, then the concept of lo yikach doesn't apply. Meaning, in other words, basically you have a heckish kind of between the psukim. Therefore, says the Braisa, prat l'kohen gadol shabar l'chois almona. So therefore, that would exclude. Suppose the kohen gadol's sister is an almona. What if he has relations with her? She's already also to him anyway, being his sister. So therefore, the concept of that he should be getting Malkus because she's an almana wouldn't apply. He's getting Malkus because she's his sister, but not in addition because she's an almana. That's because we're learning from the fact that it says yikach and then lo yikach one next to the other. So therefore, the whole concept of lo yikach, that he's chayev Malkus for marrying an almana, would only apply if otherwise he would have been able to marry her, but since he can't yet. Omale, but if Shesha says the Omalachmani, who is telling you this Braisa? Meaning, according to what Tana is this Braisa? Reb Shimon, he the Omer ain't Isur Chalal Isur. Apparently, this Braisa is only according to Reb Shimon, who says ain't Isur Chalal Isur, as we said before. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, ha'oichel nevela b'yem kippurim potter. If a person eats nevela on Yom Kippur, he would be potter for the chorus of Yom Kippur because he holds the Isur of Yom Kippur cannot be chal on the Isur of nevela. And he holds, now Tosfos points out, even Reb Shimon maybe would hold, maybe Reb Shimon would agree that Isur Moisif maybe Rav Shimon would agree with Isur Moisif, because after all, you can consider in the case of the Kohen Gadol's sister, who is an Amana, there is an Isur Moisif in the sense up until now she was until she became an Amana, she's also to the Kohen Gadol always because she's his sister, but she would have been mutter to a different Kohen Gadol, for example, the Kohen Mashuach Mochama, who has the same dinim as the Kohen Gadol as far as who we can marry. Now that she becomes an Amana, she's also to him as well. However, Tosfos says no. We can show that Reb Shimon does not even hold of Isur Moisim. Now, the case he's talking about, Nevela on Yom Kippur, is not Isur Moisim. It's an Isur Kolol. That's a different thing. He may hold that an Isur Kolol is not Chal. But we find from other places, says Tosfos, that Reb Shimon does not even hold that an Isur Moisim would be Chal on top of an existing Isur. So therefore, and for that matter, we see over here with Nevela and Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur is Kores and it's not Chal on the Isser of Nevela, which is only a lab, how much more so then he's not going to say that the Isser of an Almona, which is only a lab, is going to be Chal on top of Achose, which is Kores. So therefore, we can be sure, says Reb Sheshes, that this Braisa is only according to Reb Shimon. If our Braisa is according to the Chachamim, Ha'amri Isser Chal al Isser. Don't the Chachamim say an Isser is Chal on Isser? So why shouldn't the Isser of Amona be on top of the Isser of Achosei? And the Gemara says, no, Afilu Temer Rabbonin. Ki Amri Rabbonin, Isser Chal al Isser, Hani Mili, Isser Chomer. Because that would only apply to a stronger Isser, Al Isser Chal, on top of a lighter Isser. For example, Yom Kippur on top of Nevela, they would hold that it's a because Yom Kippur is Isser Kores, Nevela is only a lab. But to say that a lighter Isser of a lav, for example, an Amona to a Kohen Gadol, should be on top of an Isser Chomer, loy chayel, they would say that they would say it's not chal, and therefore that's why. So that's why this Braisa would say, therefore, that he's not chayel for the fact that she's an Amona, only for the fact that she's his sister. So it could be according to the Chachamim as well. Because in other words, in short, you have different opinions when Isur Chal al Isur. Before we've been saying now, Reb Shimon holds that you never have Isur Chal al Isur. According to a previous Braisa, yes, if it's an Isur Moisif or Isur Kolol. And now we're saying the Chachamim over here would say we have to distinguish between whether the new Isur is an Isur Chomer or Isur Kal. When you have two Isurim of equal level, both of them are Kal or both of them are Chomer, then we can talk about whether one is an Isur Moisir for Koilo or what have you. In the case of the Almona Grush of a Halal Zona, all of them are Lavim, so therefore we can talk about one is Chal on top of the other, provided that you have Moisir for Koilo. But here, where you have an Isur Kal of Almona to go on top of Isur Chomer of Achoisai, the Chachamim are not going to say that. Ikadami, then the Gemara brings another version. That Rav Shimon said that Rav Sheshes rather says to the Tana, Homani Rabbonin. Apparently, this Braisa is according to the Rabbonin, the Amri Isur Chal al Isur. And therefore, normally they would say Isur Chal al Isur, and therefore here they have to say not so based on the Pasuk, based on the comparison in the Pasuk between Yikach and Lo Yikach. You have to say that because you would say ki amri rabbanon isu chal al isu, and you would say when the chum say isu chal al isu, hani mili isu chomer al isu kal, only when it's a stronger isu on a weaker isu, abal isu kal al isu chomer loy chayil. But they would say not if a lighter isu comes on a stronger one. You would have to say, according to the second version of Sheshes, is saying to his Tana that this Braisa is specifically according to the Chachamim. The Ir of Shimon, if the Braisa was according to Reb Shimon, why would we even need to say that? Hashul Reb Shimon, Isu Chomer al Isu Kal Loi Chayil. He says that even a stronger Isu of Yom Kippur is not Chal on a weaker Isu of Nevela. Isu Kal al Isu Chomer Meboya. Would you need to say in the case of Almona over Achoisai, where Almona is a lighter Isu than Achoisai? So wouldn't it be obvious that this Braisa is only according to the Chachamim, and it's not even needed according to Reb Shimon? And the Gemara answer is no, because Ma'od Tam Issa Kohuna Shain. You might think that since the Torah puts special mitzvahs on Kohenim, maybe even Issa Kal is able to be Chalon, Issa Chomu, even according to Reb Shimon, Kamash Malon, and therefore the Braisa would be telling us that not. So the Braisa could be necessary according to Reb Shimon as well. Usually Issa Kal does not go on Issa Chomer, and according to him, not even Issa Chomer on Issa Kal, but maybe Issuri Kahuna are different, and therefore the Braisa has to tell us not so. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omelet of Popola Bay. Yisrael Habaal Achoisai. If a Yisrael has relations with his sister, so there's no question Zoyna Mashabilo. There's no question that by doing that, he makes her a Zoyna. And again, it doesn't matter whether it was with her consent or not. Either way, it was a Bia Asura, and therefore no question she becomes a Zoyna and is also to marry a Kohen.
even if she thought it was her husband.
Doesn't matter who, what she thought, yeah, even if it was bonus, it was completely bonus, yeah. However, the question her papa says is, chalala mashabila or la mashabila? Does he also, in addition, make her a chalala by that as well? Do we say that a kavachoymer, we'd say mechayve lavin havi chalala, she becomes a chalala just by having relations with a koyin, which is only a chayve lavin, mechayve krisis like kol shekin, how much more so if it's with her, if with her own brother, where there's a chiyuv kares, then how much more so she would become a chalala from that? Or maybe the definition of chalala is only if the relations that were also is something that's also specifically to koyin. And therefore, not this, because here this is an issur that's chal on everybody. So Abaye answers him, yeah, ein issur chalala, and I mean issur kohuna bovad. The definition of chalala is only when it was in from an issur kohuna. So Rava says, where do we get this from? So the Tanya, we learn in a braisa. When the posuk says now like this, the posuk says by a kohen hedyet that he's not allowed to marry a zona or a halala or a grusha. Then by the kohen gadol repeats those three and adds the alman. So the question is, the braisa says lo yomer grusha by kohen gadol, it shouldn't have had to say the fact that a kohen gadol can't marry a grusha v'tesi b'kavachomer b'kohen hedyet. We would learn it by a kavachomer from a kohen hedyet. We would say hash to the kohen hedyet that sort of, if she's also to a kohen hedyet, the kohen gadol m'boya, how much more so to the kohen gadol? First of all, for one thing, because he's a kohen as well, you wouldn't say the issur goes away by him becoming kohen gadol. Lama nemra, so why does the pasuk mention grusha by a kohen gadol? Means to teach us. Just the kohen hedyet. Just like by a kohen hedyet, the grusha is mentioned separately. How does the pasuk say? Isha zone of a chalala lo yikochu, the isha grusha me isha lo yikochu. So it's clear that there's a separate lav on a grusha for a kohen hedyet. You wouldn't say, in other words, you have a concept in halacha called lav shebeklolos. Sometimes you have a pasuk that says, don't do this or this, and it's all considered one lav, and therefore there would be only one malchus for it. Here, since the pasuk specifies that grusha is considered separate, there's no question there's separate malchus for marrying and having relations with a grusha. So therefore, so we learn from that, just like that, chalukah migrusha v'chalala v'zonim v'kohen gadol. So the same way as a grusha is distinguished from a zona and chalala by a kohen hedyet, kach almona chalukah migrusha v'chalala v'zonim v'kohen gadol, the same way by a kohen gadol, and almona is something separate. In other words, even though the posik puts them all in one thing, almona grusha v'chalala zona, and then it says one loy, as elo loy yikach, nevertheless, from the fact that it has grusha in the middle of that list, and before by the kohen hedyet, we had grusha singled out for herself, then we learn that each one of these is a separate issur of its own. Then the braisa continues. So therefore, he's getting malchus for each one. Then the braisa continues. Chalala lama nemra. Why does it repeat chalala by the kohen gadol again? Given that we already had it by the kohen hedyet, to teach us exactly what Abaye just said in chalala elam isur kohuna, that a chalala is defined as only when she was born from an isur kohuna, as opposed to we said when she was born from some other kind of isur. So that brings us back to what Rapapa had asked Abaya, that if a brother and sister have relations, what's the status of the daughter? She's a mamzeres, but she's not a chalala, because a chalala would only be from Isser Kahuna. And here it's not an Isser Kahuna, it's an Isser, it's called an Isser Ashova Bakol. It's an Isser that applies equally to all Jews. Next, Zona Loma Nemra. Why does it mention again Zona by the Kohen Gadol, given that it mentioned it by the Kohen Hedyet, is that you have for Xeda Shova. Nemra can Zona, Venema Lahalan Zona. Both by the Kohen Gadol and by the Kohen Hedyet, it says the word zona. Ma kan zare cholin. Just like by the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk makes it clear that if he marries any of these women, his children become chalalim, as we discussed before. Aflahalan zare cholin. The same way, a Kohen Hedyet marries any of these women who are also to him, including a chalala, the children will be, or a zona, including a zona, the children will be chalalim. And Omer of Ashi, said of Ashi, finishes off Hilkach. Koyin abal achosay. Therefore, we can figure out as follows: if a koyin has a relation with a sister, zona mashabila chalala lemashabila. At that point, he makes her a zona, and if another koyin then goes and marries her, he's going to get malchus for zona. But chalala lemashabila, the brother has not made her a chalala because it's not an issur kohuna specifically. If then he has relations with her again, asah chalala. Then at that point, he additionally makes her a chalala. Because once she's a zona and she's also to him by a specific issur kohuna, then already we can say that when he has relations with her, then he makes her, in addition, he also makes her a halala. Now, an interesting point is, didn't we say before, what about, we said, Ein isu chalal isur. Once she's already a zoyna, how can the isur of chalala be chal on her?
Even though it has to do the kayin.
So we said, on the face of it, though, she's already also to him. So, and she's already, not only she's also to him, she's also to all kayinim because she's a zoyna. So how can, again, it was against her will, but that's neither here nor there. But the point is, well, how can we say that now, how can we say that she, that now she becomes a chalala when we said before, chalala can't be on top of a zoyna?
How about
the Yisro Koyl, all those things? Because there's no Yisro Moisif on the face of it. Here, as a Zona, she already conceivably could be also to Yisrael as well, if she was married to Yisrael and was Mazana Berotzen. We said before that in that case, Ein Yisro Chalal Yisro. So the Tosfos HaRosh gives an answer that what we mean is, let's say a Koyin who wants to marry her was a Kotten at the time. So now, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah after she became a Chalala, so now it's called Isur Bas Achas. This is another case where Isur Chalal Isur, where the two Isurim come at the same time. Namely, at the same time, she becomes, as soon as he becomes Bar Mitzvah, she becomes also to him by being a Zoyna as well as being a Chalala, and for that he could get double Malchus, even though they happen out of order. We're talking about that for him, relative to him, they both kicked in only at the same time, namely when he becomes chayiv in mitzvahs.
And two things that happen at the same time.
There's also isur basachas can also be isur chalal isur. Yeah.
He's a kohen.
So in other words, the scenario would be her brother had relations with her. That made her, he said, a zayna. Then he has relations with her again, makes her in addition a chalala. Now, what does that mean? It means if a different kohen, who at the time when all this happened was a katan, now wants to marry her after he becomes a gadol, if he does, he's getting double malchus. Because for him, at the same moment that she becomes also as a zoyna, she also becomes also to him as a halala. So therefore, and in that case, is another example of isur halal isur, where the two isurim come with asachas. Okay.